Probably all of us have been to firework displays of the professional kind where as you get to that point where you can tell the end is coming because there's big ending there. And I know my grandchildren used to, when that would start to happen, is it over? Is it over? The indication, this big grand finale at the end. And most performances have something like that. If you're a band director or a choral director or wherever under the tutelage of one, you can recall that they always wanted that last note to be as precise as possible, because that's what people are going to remember. They'll remember that very last thing that happened there. In our world, in our culture, we have finales of TV series, and if you want to really get a good fight started, you can say that this was the best one ever, or this was the worst one ever, and that'll usually get all that kind of thing going. There are a lot of finales in the Bible, too. And you may think of Bible characters or Bible situations that included a grand finale. To me, the one that jumps out the most is Elijah riding to heaven in a fiery chariot. That's a pretty nice finale when you think about it. The character I'd like for us to focus on today, though, has a different kind of finale. The guy that we're going to look at today is Samson. You know the story. After a lifetime of triumph and despair, Delilah has persuaded Samson to tell her the secret of his strength, and he does so. She cuts off his hair, and the Philistines pounce. 1 Samuel 16, verse 21. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding grain in the prison. And if you were looking at this purely from a human standpoint, your conclusion would likely be, well, that's the end of Samson. He's lost. It's over. It's done with. It's concluded. It's finished. And yet, we all know better. There's the finale, and it is an incredible one. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 16. We'll go down. We'll start in verse 22. It says, "But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved." And I've always wondered, there's so many strange things in this story, but one of them is this. Did they not think about the fact that you know, what did they do to get this whole thing in sequence? Did they just ignore that fact? There's things that just don't totally make sense here. Verse 23. "Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, 'Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands.' When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, 'Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste to our land and multiplied our slain.' While they were in high spirits, they shouted, 'Bring out Samson to entertain us.' So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, 'Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I might lean against them.' Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there. And on the roof there were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, 'Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get the revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes.' Then Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against him, his right hand on one, his left hand on the other. Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And he pushed with all his might. Down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more than when he died, than when he lived." Again, you know, it must have happened pretty quickly. I mean, sometimes when you see this story, they have this image of Samson really taking his time. I would have thought that maybe there would have been a pretty intense response when people figured out what he was trying to do, and so probably it happened pretty swiftly. But he's able to have this big finish, if you'd like to look at it that way. I don't know what Samson thought about when he was held as a prisoner. I would guess that there probably were a lot of regrets that he was processing. He had been given this incredible gift of the Spirit of God that gave him this strength and power. And he had to have known in his heart of hearts that he had misused that. He hadn't done exactly the things that he could have done. He'd done some good things. He'd done some powerful things. He'd done some effective things. But he also had messed up quite a bit. And you just begin to wonder. And I would suppose that he probably began to think, well, I missed my chance. There won't be another chance for me. And I think there's the reality of that experience in our lives as well, especially as we get to be older. We look back and we can really be caught up in all the things that we failed to do, the mistakes that we made, and the regrets of our lives can really be overwhelming. And we can get ourselves to the place where we start to believe that I missed my chance. I missed my opportunity to be who God wanted me to be. And I won't have another chance. And this morning I'd like for us to be reminded of the fact that as Samson gets another chance, we never know when we're going to have other opportunities. We never know when we're going to have literally a new beginning. It may not last but for just a few moments, like Samson's did. But we don't know what God has planned for us. And we need to be ready for that opportunity. You know, as Samson thought, he could have put a lot of things in his mind. He could have been regretful of that marriage that he insisted on when we were first exposed to him. Or how about that idea to create that riddle, you know, and how that blows up in his face. When he has to pay 30 suits of clothes. And so he says, oh, no problem, I'll just kill 30 Philistines and give them their clothes. And things kind of go downhill from there. When he lights the foxes on fire. And certainly the women that are in his life could have created a lot of regrets for him. We all can have serious kinds of regrets. Satan wants us to say, your sin overwhelms you. Your failures define you. So accept that and just throw in the towel. And I believe that God says a different thing to us, gives us a different kind of message. Samson's life is marked, I think, by impulsive behavior. He has his tendency to kind of do things in an overly quick fashion. And you sometimes would like to say to him, why don't you slow down just a little bit and maybe think that through, might have just a little bit of a different conclusion there. Samson was a sinner. He was involved in sin. He was involved in sexual sins that we know about. And he goes to Gaza and it's engaged with the prostitute, and they lock him in the city, and he just literally takes the city gates and walks away with them. That whole situation was created by a poor choice on Samson's part. We have a tendency to believe that sexual sins are the worst sins, and I'm not here to deny that those sins have very strong consequences. Sexual sins are the only exclusion in the Bible to having a marriage dissolve. God understands that that's such a serious offense that it may be that the marriage is not able to continue past that point in time. And so you are allowed in that situation to dissolve a marriage. It can be a very serious sin. And so we sometimes start to develop these hierarchies of sin. You know, there's those little sins like gossip and envy and those kind of things. And then there are some that are a little more serious. And then there's the big sins. And if you've created a big sin, then you've done something that neutralizes you. You've done something that allows you not to be of use to God from that point forward. And people start to look at you that way. And that's a really, really sad thing that happens. Probably there aren't many here today who remember Rule Lemons, editor of a church paper for many, many years. And Lemons was the guy who would say on several occasions that the Lord's army is the only army that shoots its wounded. And sometimes we do that. We treat people like they've committed sins that allow them to no longer be useful to God. And when we do that, we are, I can't think of the right word, that's getting, we're actually negating God's forgiveness. We can be forgiven. We can serve in God's kingdom. We make mistakes. We make them every day. And whether it's a large one or a small one or a medium one, we have opportunity to be useful to God again. And I believe Samson easily could have thought in that prison, I never will be given a time to do anything useful for God. And we see that it doesn't happen that way at all. Something else that I don't understand about Samson is, why did he tell Delilah the secret? Let me share with you a passage, and this is the passage we go to. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the third time you've made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great success. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. We go to that passage and say, okay, she nagged him into it. That doesn't really answer it. He got tired of the interplay there. But he knows from his experience that when he's told her things that aren't true, that they happened. When he told her a certain thing, then the Philistines would be there to carry that out. How does he deceive himself to the place where he tells her his secret? Could it be that he's just gotten so used to the way God works? He's gotten so used to being the receiver of God's power that he starts to believe that he's not really vulnerable. He starts to believe, well, God's always helped me. God's always been there for me. And can he deceive himself to the place where it's like, this is going to happen. It's going to be okay. I'm not really vulnerable. And I think there's a parallel for us there as well. We look around at our own lives, and by and large, and in most ways, things have gone well for us. And we think, yeah, that's going to continue. And when Satan comes along and he puts a great big temptation in front of us, we may be tempted to think, well, I can do both of those things. You know, God will still be there. I don't really know what he was thinking. I don't know why he got to that place. But I do know that in this impulsive behavior, this impulsive decision, he winds up losing his connection to God. He winds up alone, broken, and sightless. He literally becomes what we would call a circus sideshow for these Philistines. And he had to know, didn't have to be this way. I could have done a whole lot better than what actually has taken place. I've ruined my life. Is there anything more to live for? Did I fulfill my purpose to God? He knew his purpose. If you go to 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 5, when God is talking to his mother, God says, you will become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor because the boy is to be a Nazarite. Dedicated to God from the womb, he will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines. He's going to lead Israel in overthrowing the Philistines. And Samson did that at times. But he has this very uneven kind of performance record. Suddenly, there he is. He didn't expect to be in a position where, with just a little bit of help, he could finish this in this grand, powerful way. And God brings to him, I believe, one last opportunity. An opportunity for this grand finale, this incredible finish that allows him to fulfill this purpose. And this morning, if you find yourself kind of overwhelmed by the things you've done, if you find yourself in a place where regrets can stack up all the time, if you can look back on your life and say, I wish I hadn't been so impulsive here or there. I wish I hadn't gotten myself in this situation. And we start to believe, because Satan's whispering in our ear, this is all. Remember Samson. There are opportunities still there. And whether you have a minute to live, or whether another decade, or the second half of your life, or whatever it is, there will be opportunities to fulfill your purpose. Samson had been arrogant, he had been impulsive, he had been sinful, he had squandered the blessings that God had given him. But haven't we all? Is there a grand finale waiting in your life? You know, it doesn't have to be about sin. As I thought of other grand finales, I not only thought of Elijah, not only thought of Samson, but for conclusion this morning, I'd like to mention one more. Remember Caleb? Only two spies that went to spy out the land thought that they could actually take the land. Joshua and Caleb. And there's a time when Caleb comes to Joshua in Judges chapter 14, starting in verse 10. And he says, now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out, and I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Now, you might look at this guy and think, he's the definition of positive thinking. You know, he's an 85-year-old man who says, I want the mountaintop, and I want the mountaintop where the giants live. I want the ones that have the really big cities. I want the biggest task possible out there. And you might think, well, can you really handle that? Of course, he's got God's strength. He's got the power that Samson had. And he's saying, I've been faithful. I've been faithful this entire time. Kind of the antithesis of who Samson is. But he understands that there's still a grand finale waiting for him. He says, just give me a shot at it. I want to do it. Give me the mountain. Or as one version says, give me the mountaintop. That's what I want to do. I hope today, as you look at a new year, as you look at new beginnings, as you look at new opportunities, that you look at, okay, there are still things for me to accomplish. No matter who I am, no matter what age I am, no matter what mistakes I've made, or even if I've been faithful to God for a very long period of time, there are still things that God has in mind for me to do. You know, when Terry's mom, Joyce Stamps, went to assisted living. I was always, I was amazed at her and a number of different things that she did in her life, but she took being in assisted living as a ministry. There were people there who needed her encouragement. And she still felt like God had something important for her to do, because he did. She was willing to step up and do that. All we have to do is say, God, help me to know what it is that you're providing for me to do. And he will open that door. He will give us those opportunities, and he will provide for us the strength to carry them through. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for your forgiveness. Father, we know that we spatter our lives with sin, that we limit our opportunities to reach out to other people. We damage our witness by the things that we do wrong. And Father, we thank you so much for being willing to, when we repent and when we acknowledge and utilize the blood of Jesus, that you take those things away from us. And Father, we sometimes hold on to them in our own minds, and we limit what we're able to do. Father, we thank you for that forgiveness. And we just pray that we can step up and literally be the people that you want us to be. We know that you continue to have plans for us. As long as we have breath, as long as we're here, there are things that you have for us to do. And Father, our prayer today is that we can take advantage of those opportunities. Help us to constantly be looking to find more ways to fulfill our purpose for you in this life. And we pray this through your precious Son. Amen.